Amen. Thank you. You may be seated there. And may that be our testimony this morning, that we would seek to live for Jesus. Now let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll be there in just a few moments. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I've been thinking much over this last several months about that song we just sang, Living for Jesus, but also a message we looked at several months ago entitled When Principle Was King, and the thought of principles for life, principles for the Christian life. And the only way that we're ever going to live for Jesus is if we as Christians develop early on in our Christian life some principles that will help guide us throughout life. That word principle is defined as a general truth, a law comprehending many subordinate truths as the principles of mortality, of law, of government, etc. And that comes to us from Webster's 1828 dictionary. I believe this morning, and I believe we can go to the Bible, we can go to the Word of God, and the Bible is the source of truth that must be used to govern our lives. Not emotion, not experience, not how things are or were or used to be, or what culture says they are. The Bible is the source of truth that must be used. You know, we often make the Bible, and we all are guilty of this, we make the Bible seem mysterious. We make the Bible seem impossible to understand, when in reality, it is actually a very clear guide for every area of our lives. You think this morning, you come up with it off the top of your head. You say, does the Bible cover this area of life? I can guarantee you, we can take you to a portion of Scripture that it will cover that area of our lives. The Bible is not just a source of history. It's just not a textbook recording to us what happened in a different day, nor is it merely a source of prophecy informing us of what is going to happen someday. It is rather a guide instructing us how to live every day. Every single day we can open the Word of God and be told how we ought to live that particular day. And when we as Christians, when we accept and we adopt Bible principles as absolutes, and that's the key. They need to be absolutes, not, well, if we feel like it, not if we get around to it, not if it fits in with our lifestyle, but they are absolutes. That means they're unchanging. Then we will dethrone our opinions, our emotions, our theories as rulers of our lives, because usually that's what it is. We allow our emotions, our opinions, our theories to guide our lives instead of the principles of the Word of God. You found your place there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I invite you to notice there, if you would, verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7.
Sorry, Joe's listening.
Oh, okay. Hello, Joe. Oh, he can't hear me. Okay. Verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you on this subject, principles for life. Principles for life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, again, we just pray now you'd come down and meet with us in a special and real way. Father, we pray you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And Father, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting it settled, 100% sure that heaven's their home, that Christ is their Savior, their sins are forgiven. Father, we pray you be with Junior Church going on in back. We pray that everything that is said and done would be done to your honor, your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we come to the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is at the end of his life. And even though, as he's at the end of his life, we find the Apostle Paul at peace. He says there, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now, I want you to keep in mind here, Paul had wasted many years of his life as a barbaric, wicked murderer before being taught the Scriptures. And through the Apostle Paul, Timothy's spiritual mentor did not live his Christian life perfectly. He told Timothy that he had finished his course. That should be the goal. That should be the desire of every child of God, whether we grew up in church or whether we were saved at a later time in life. Our desire should be to finish our course. And that's what Paul was doing here. He had finished his course. And the secret this morning, and it's really no secret, but the secret to the Christian life is letting Bible principles make our decision. You say, "How do I know what's the right decision?" Well, what does the Bible say about it? What does the Word of God say about it? And men, you see, as humans in general, we have a deceitful and wicked heart. The Bible tells us that. And that wicked and deceitful heart causes us to have many different emotions and causes us to have many different moods. Today, I'm in a very good mood. I'm in a very happy mood. I had a good treatment last night, got a good night's rest for the most part. I'm happy, I'm energized, I'm ready to go. Now, come see me tomorrow, I may be the most cranky person you ever met. Why? Because that's how we are. We have different moods and different emotions, and we're up, we're down, we're in, we're out, we're hot, we're cold. And if we were to leave our decisions up to our emotions, if we were to leave our decisions up to how we felt and how we feel, then guess what? We're going to be in a whole world of trouble. We're going to be in a whole world of hurt. And if we allow society, if we allow culture, if we allow our emotions or our moods to make our decisions for us, we are going to look back on them and we are going to regret them. It's very important this morning to live our lives based on Bible principles. So I want to give you this morning several principles for life. Several principles for life that can help us in our Christian lives. Number one, our lives were given to us by God. Our lives were given to us by God. In Genesis chapter 1 gives us the account of creation. The very first verse of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God." That's what starts the entire Bible. That's what starts the entire Word of God. God was before anything else. After God's, and after that, and God created the heavens and the earth, verses 26 and 27 explain to us, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In Jeremiah 1:4-5, the Bible tells us, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." I want us to be very aware this morning that the Bible is very clear that God created man. God created man. We did not just evolve. We did not just pop up in an instant. God had a specific plan. He had a specific plan for Jeremiah by creating him to be a prophet. And God cared enough to create a specific plan for each one of us. I don't care who you are this morning, young, old, somewhere in between. God has a specific plan for you. God has a specific plan for your life. And we need this morning to find out what God's plan is for us, not decide for ourselves what we want to do. Our thinking about our lives will change if we remember this morning that God gave us a life and crafted each and every life for a unique purpose. You know, there's stories, and you can probably know of some, that someone in a family, let's say, for example, they were a pastor and they have a son. And well, the natural inclination is, well, they're going to want their son to follow in their footsteps and become a pastor. Well, the truth of the matter is that may not be the Lord's will for that man's life. Someone's a police officer. And we definitely know of stories like that where there's generations. Father was a cop. Grandfather was a cop. Son was a cop. Grandson was a cop. That's all well and good. But we need to be careful not to push somebody to do something that may not be God's will for their lives. And we see that we ought to treasure the life God has given to each of us. And if we live by the principle that our lives were given to us by God, then we will think before we make flippant decisions that may cause us to miss God's will for our lives. You know, I'm thankful this morning God is merciful. I'm thankful this morning God extends grace. Because how many of us, when we were younger, we just made some stupid decisions. We just made some flippant decisions. It's a miracle some of us are alive with some of the decisions we made when we were younger. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, God in His goodness, He saw fit that that He saw us through that stupidity. There's a meme. I'll send it out to the church group. But it says, basically, God took into account my stupidity when He put a calling on my life. And so when He called you to do something, He already knew you were going to be resistant and I was going to be resistant and all the rest. But we need to learn to treasure our lives because we may just well miss God's will for our life. Principle number two this morning: our lives do not belong to us. Our lives do not belong to us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 asks us what? "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And here we have, there's a problem with the world's philosophy. The world's philosophy tells people their lives are their own. Sadly, this morning, this philosophy has crept in to our churches. Christians think their lives belong to them and not God. You see, this morning, the Almighty God put every star in place. He named every one of the billions of stars. He crafted the solar system with the earth on its axis, So that it spins a certain way and will not just shoot off into the sun. And He, the Almighty God, created man, you and me, in His own image. You see, this morning, just like everything else God created, He has a purpose for us. But He values us even more than the rest of His creation. You see, how do you know that? Because He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, to die, to be purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to redeem us of our sin. And you see this morning, when put in the context of Scripture, we're very special to God. You're here this morning, you're special to the Lord. You're special to God. A Christian this morning who leaves the will of God to pursue his own will never have peace in his heart. There'll always be a conflict within him because his life is not his own. You see, this morning, you and I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, the Lord called me to be a pastor. Now, there was one time in my life I thought that he was calling me to be a lawyer because I like to argue. I like to debate. I like to go back and forth sometimes. But that was not the Lord's will for my life. I took business technology as my major. And I thought that I was going to work in that field or with computers or whatever the case may be. Well, that was not the Lord's will for my life. And I guarantee if I had done anything else except what the Lord called me to do, I would not be happy. I would be miserable. And you will be too. If you know the Lord's called you to do something and you don't do it, I guarantee it, you will be miserable. But we see our lives do not belong to us. Principle number three this morning, our lives are limited. Our lives are limited. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible tells us, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You see, this morning we all have birthdays, don't we? Brother Ralph just celebrated a birthday yesterday. Miss Yvonne's going to celebrate a birthday on Thursday. We all have a birthday. A specific time when our lives on this planet began. And if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries his coming, every one of us will have a death date that will indicate a specific time when our lives here on this earth ended. And it came to a stop. It came to a halt. You know, you think about it this morning. Most restaurants today offer unlimited refills. However, when you go to a restaurant that does not give free refills, what do you tend to do? You tend to drink just a little bit more slowly. You tend to conserve that drink just a little bit more at a slower pace. If our spouse or our children ask for some, perhaps we do not share because we don't want to run out of that drink. Well, now that might sound like a strange illustration, might sound like a strange segue, but think about it. Our lives are similar to a drink with no refills. Our lives are similar to that drink that as we get older, we realize that eventually, one of these days, we're going to run out of days. One of these days, we're going to run out of time. And our lives here on earth are limited. Now listen, we don't pick our birthday. We don't pick our birthday. But God has already picked our death date. God sets that appointment. We look around and we see people whose hair is grayer than ours. And they have more wrinkles than we do. And we assume that, well, they're going to pass away before we do. But our appointment could be before theirs. You see, every day is a day that God has given us an opportunity to do his will. We must realize that we have a limited number of days to live for the Lord. What are you doing with those days the Lord has given you? Hopefully you're making them count for eternity. Principle number four this morning, we should make the most of each day. We should make the most of each day. James 4:14, the Bible tells us, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You see, this morning, life is simply a number of days stacked one upon another until that death appointment comes that is set by God. Many of us know that to be true, that the older we get, the faster life seems to go. We think, well, we say it often, where did the time go? Well, it's as the Bible says. It's as a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it vanishes away. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's here, and then it's gone. Somebody who lives to be 70 years of age has lived more than 25,000 days. Can you imagine that? Think about that. 25,000 days. We have this morning only one life, and we do not know how much time we have to live that life. We should ask ourselves, what did I do today that was productive for my God? What did I do today that was productive for my family? You see, this morning we need to make our lives and our days count. Young couples are advised to enjoy every stage of life. They should enjoy the dating stage, the engagement stage, the newlywed stage, because one day the newlywed stage will be all over. And then once the first baby comes, there are new stages to enjoy. But guess what? That child, while not going anywhere for a long time, and couples with children should enjoy the baby stage, because one day that baby is going to grow up, and that once cute and cuddly baby is going to grow into a teenager, and you're probably going to have more doors slammed than you remember. But it is also a glorious day when that last diaper bag is out of the house, and then the children can feed themselves, bathe themselves, dress themselves. The children should enjoy the school age phase. Also enjoy the stage where the children leave to go to college. Enjoy every family vacation. Parents should have little regret as possible. See, what are you saying this morning? We should enjoy every little moment of our lives because our lives are limited. And instead of living life, and here's what we do. We live life looking ahead. Instead, we should make the most of every day right now. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming next week or next month or next year. Listen, it's great and all right if you have a 5-year plan. But realize the Lord may change that 5-year plan. We should make the most of each day with family. But we should also make the most day with the Lord. We should spend time each day in prayer. We should spend each day in time with Bible reading, serving God in whatever capacity we can. You see, when we make the most of each day God gives us, then we're doing His will. Principle number 5 this morning. What we do in this life affects the next. What we do in this life affects the next. Hebrews 9:27. Again, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Here's the sad reality this morning. For those who are unsaved, who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, their time on earth is the best time they will ever have. Their last days on earth will be followed by an eternity of pain, of suffering, of anguish that no one can comprehend. But those who realize the need of the Savior and trusted Christ for salvation need not fear hell, because they made a decision that affected the next life. You see, this morning, I like to play video games. And in some video games, you have multiple lives. You get killed. You just respawn. But folks, this morning, life is not a video game. We die. We just play again. We die. We just play again. No. We don't get any sort of bonus life. We have one life. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You see, this morning when we lay up treasure on earth, we're going to leave it all behind. You've heard the old illustration. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. We're not going to take anything with us. Now, I've heard of stories and accounts where some people, they get buried with all their earthly possessions, with all their earthly money, their earthly gold, and so on and so forth. But I guarantee you, you go, you dig that grave up, all that earthly possession will still be right there in that grave. Because you can't take it with you. Job said it best. "Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither." But if we live for the next life, then that affects eternity and can help us lay up treasures in heaven. Paul here in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7 again, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Historians believe that Paul lived to be approximately 60 years of age. However, when we look at it, he had wasted many of those years. After his conversion, he did not have as many days available to him to serve the Lord. But he made the most of the days he had left. Now, some of us, we may have gotten saved younger in life. Praise the Lord for that. And we had a whole lot of time and a whole lot of time to serve the Lord. Some of us, we may have gotten saved later in life. And we don't have as much time ahead of us as we do in back of us. But we can still make them count for the Lord. We can still make them count for eternity. And when he got to the end of his life, he could say with confidence, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Folks, this morning we need to make the most of each and every day, because what we do in this life will affect the next life. Principle number 6 this morning, we must focus on the life in front of us, not the life behind us. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You see, what Paul was not doing, now again, remember, Paul, 60 years of age, saved later in life, more time behind him than he had in front of him. But here what Paul was saying was he was not dwelling on his past, but he was moving forward. And listen, this morning, if we're honest, we've all made mistakes in our past. We've all had sin in our past. But you know what we need to do? We need to quit looking back to them. It's kind of like, as I think about it, Lot's wife. As they were going forward out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and she looks back, and she's turned into the pillar of salt. The Lord didn't want them to look back towards sin. He wanted them to look forward and keep moving forward for him. You see, if we wasted yesterday, we can change that tomorrow. If we weren't what we were supposed to be yesterday, we can be what we're supposed to be today. You see, looking back, though, will cause us to become discouraged by our mistakes, discouraged by our sin, and prevent us from doing good and living for God today. And that's what Satan does. He gets into our minds. He gets into our hearts and he points out those things. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that yesterday. And then he gets you to do something today that you shouldn't do. And the cycle just repeats. But the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So you say, Pastor, I sinned yesterday. Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. And he's faithful and just to forgive us those sins. On the other hand, looking to the past could also cause us to become satisfied with what good we have done and hinder us from doing good in the future. You say, well, I don't do that anymore, so I'm pretty okay. No, that's wrong too. You see, as we age, we may not be able to do what we did in our younger days, but no matter our age, there is something we can do for God today. Again, I don't care this morning how old you are, how young you are. You can do something for God if you want to do it. You see, God leaves us here after salvation to finish the course he has for us. I've always wondered that. You say, we get saved, but why doesn't God just take us home? Why doesn't he just take us to heaven? Because we're not done here on this world. We're not done here on this earth. He has a plan for us, a purpose for us, a race for us, a course for us, a faith for us to keep. Souls to see saved, lives to be changed. Young people with more life ahead of them than behind them should not live a day in their youth that will keep them from living their future days for God. You see, whether this morning we're young or old, every day we have now is one more day to live doing what God put us on earth to do, because the fruits of our labor are waiting on the other side. And then seventh principle, and finally this morning, we ought to live our life, or we ought to use our lives to influence the lives of others. Jude 22, the Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." You see, this morning, we get but a glimpse of God's wisdom. We get but a glimpse of God's love by his giving us the local church. The local church is a place to live our days. It's a place where we can serve together. It's a place where we can affect the lives of others by spreading the gospel. You see, this morning, every life, everybody here is important to God. Every life here is important to the Lord. And since every life is important, then the church must reach and salvage every person that we can. You see, folks, there are going to be people that walk through those doors. They're going to come from sin-addicted backgrounds. They may be alcoholics, drug addicts. They may be adulterers. They may be any number of sinful things. Their lives may be wrecked by sin. But that's what the church is here for. We live in a day and age where too many churches are stuffy. We live in a day and age where too many churches are stuck up. We live in a day and age where too many churches are holier than thou. We live in a day and age where someone dare comes into the church and they have a life of sin. Instead of pointing them to the Savior, we point them to the door. What on earth are our churches thinking? Listen, the Bible tells us, and such were some of you. You needed the Savior. I needed the Savior. We were all in the same boat. We're all sinners. And so who are we to say somebody else is a worse sinner than us? There's no such thing. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody needs the Savior. And so they're going to be this morning. Some wrecked lives. I remember the story, and I forget who it was as far as the names go, but a new pastor went into the church, and the church before he got there, they were running a bus ministry, and the church wanted to do away with the bus ministry. They wanted to stop having the bus ministry. They didn't want the bus kids because they were loud, they were rowdy, they were noisy, they were all the rest. And the pastor, he stood his ground and he said, "I'll take the bus kids. Because if they're not reached, then who's going to reach them? Who's going to see them saved? Who's going to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior?" You know, this morning, and God bless it, the service was a little bit loud this morning, wasn't it? We had some kids in the service. Don't know if you could tell. But guess what? I'd rather a bunch of kids going on than just a dead, silent, like it's a municipal library or something. It's not a library. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to get involved in the service. It's okay. Listen, my pastor taught me years ago, Pastor Hickernell, we'd have babies in the service and they'd be wah, wah. Guess what? He'd just keep preaching. Guess what I do? I just keep preaching. I get a little bit louder. You listen a little bit louder and we'll be just fine. What's that?
That's our future church.
That's right. That's our future church. And if they're not here, then where are they going to be? And so, you know, that was music to my... That may not have been music to your ears, but that's music to my ears. But we need to use our lives to influence the lives of others. All the children picked up on the church buses are just as important to God as any church member. Those with children have an opportunity from God to rear those children for Him. God wants our lives to touch others' lives so that they can touch another's life. You see, this morning, God put us in that class. God put us on that bus. God placed us as that parent. Or maybe the Lord just laid somebody on your heart for the purpose of influencing another for Him. You see, this morning, I believe God allows others to cross our paths so that they can be affected. In the moments it takes to be kind, we can affect a life for good. You see, touching a life comes from selflessness and being in tune with the Lord. Romans 14:7 tells us, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." In other words, this morning, no man is an island unto himself. As a 15-year-old boy, working for his older brother at a shoe store, D.L. Moody was led to Christ by Ed Kimball, a faithful Sunday school teacher. It's been documented that through the ministry of D.L. Moody, more than 3 million people walked a church aisle for salvation. 3 million plus people were saved because one Sunday school teacher fulfilled his God-given responsibility. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, who knows the name D.L. Moody? Most hands would go up. Now, if I were to ask you who knew Ed Kimball, nobody would possibly know that name. And just also, fun fact, D.L. Moody, I was talking to Rose about this. She's going through church history. Back in 1818 through 1831, there was a pastor at this church by the name of Sepson. And D.L. Moody, in 1924, preached in this church for that pastor. Who got saved as a result of that meeting? We don't know. It's lost to time. But because one person took their God-given responsibility seriously, 3 million people were saved. The question becomes this morning, how many people influenced us and had an impact on our lives? Would we be here this morning had they not? You see, this morning we have a great opportunity to do the same for others. And whether this morning we have one day, 5 days, 5,000 days, or any number of days ahead of us, we can do the will of God. You know, I believe this morning it'd be a horrible thing to find out in heaven that someone did not fulfill the will of God for his life because we were unwilling to fulfill the will of God for ours. We should live our lives as if God has circled a date on the calendar and told us it would be our last. I remember my pastor, he once preached a message, "What if it were today that it were my last? What if today were your last day here on earth?" We should live our lives based on the principles found in the Word of God. You see, this morning, God did not give us, each of us, a life to live for ourselves or to make a great deal of money. Our motto should not be, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Because all that will matter when we come to the end of our lives is how many precious lives we have affected with the one life God has given us. Again, Paul, "For I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Christian, this morning, are you ready to be offered? Have you fought a good fight? Have you kept the faith? Are you going to finish your course? If you are, you're going to need to implement these Bible principles for life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.